Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in progress.
That would be a little weird. You'll be making progress with your day if you go check out Strange Brew Coffee House.
That's why we pay them the big bucks, folks, right there.
Worth every penny.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. I had a dream last night, though, about Strange Brew Coffee House.
Where?
I drove past there or something, or I was looking at it, and they had a big Lane Kiffin inflatable in front of the store. And so I called Shane. I was like, you could advertise your own damn coffee from now on. It's like I'm out.
Now you've given him an idea.
If he puts a Lane Kiffin inflatable, I will only accept that if like you're encouraged to go outside and throw coffee in its face.
If David Turner finishes with a above average defensive line transfer portal class, we need a David Turner inflatable on top of Strange Brew Coffee House.
We need an ice cream sandwich called the D Block.
There we go.
Yeah, it's like I don't know what David Turner's favorite kind of ice cream is, but
on the cup will be a screenshot of me blocked by David Turner. And it's just the D Block.
Yeah.
I like that.
The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. We may be in the new year, but that doesn't mean you need to stop cooking out each and every weekend. We've just been blessed over the last few months, even in this winter, where we've had great weekends to cook out. And you should know that nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So if you're cooking out for the new year, if you're cooking out anytime, make it beef. And if you don't want to cook out, hey, go grab a meal at one of our fantastic steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. There's one nearly every community. You can't go wrong. I'm fascinated to find out. I guess they'll announce it soon. The winners of the best steakhouse and best burger joint competitions. So we'll
go over to Kosciuszko. We still got to go over to Nails.
We got a lot to do, to be honest with you, Robbie. We got a lot of meals to eat this year. We need to make sure we eat those. Plus, you know, I'm going to assume a catfish tour is in our future. So we got food to eat, but we're going to get to it. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Are we putting the governor's mansion on our catfish tour this year?
Yeah, you know, Tate Reeves is a busy man. He hasn't gotten back to me after my tweet to him. But
he will eventually get back to us.
It's going
to
happen.
If we go to the governor's mansion, that's going to be an all-timer right there.
Our people will be in touch with his people.
Yes, that's how that's going to work. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. New year, new gear. Leave the old behind and grab some new gear at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Make your New Year's resolution to dine at Restaurant Tyler more often than you did last year. And why should you do that? Because you want to have New Year's resolutions that are, I think you want to have two things out of a New Year's resolution. Easy to achieve and enjoyable when you achieve them. And I can't make it any easier for you, and I can't make it any more enjoyable than eating a meal at Restaurant Tyler. So everybody's like, what's your New Year's resolution? Oh, I want to lose weight. Oh, I want to be a better blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to eat at Restaurant Tyler more this year. That's my New Year's resolution. I'll see you there at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it's so important that when you have a question about your money, you can get an answer and get it in a timely fashion. You don't have time to wait on hold for one of those big corporate bank call centers. You want to be able to talk to a real live person. You want to get the level of service that you get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie and I, we're risk takers. You know, we're gambling men. We're going to do this whole show about basketball without knowing the result of the Mississippi State Bethune-Cookman game, which could completely sour everything we're about to say. Future Brian will give us that result later in the show. But, Robbie.
Please come through, Future Brian, please. That would not be a good development.
If our last show of the year is us waxing poetic about how great this basketball team is, and then Bethune-Cookman comes into the hump and beats them, we're going to have trouble living that one down. I'll just go ahead and let you. I'll be honest with you, Robbie. I'm just going to let everybody know right this second. Bethune-Cookman wins that game, this podcast will never see the light of day.
We're cutting it just like we did with Tyler Lockhart.
At that point, yeah. So it's just like, yeah, with Tyler Lockhart, same thing.
It's just going to be Future Brian. That's
it. It'll literally be this part where leading into me saying what I'm going to say about the basketball team, it's going to be like, you're going to be like, so Robbie, and then it's going to be like, hey, this is Future Brian. We got an emergency situation here.
Everybody just shut up.
Shut up. Stay down. All right. Not to talk too much about Ole Miss, but I thought that the game they played against Memphis and the way Mississippi, because we haven't talked basketball. State has not played a game since our last podcast where we wrapped up what happened in Memphis, where State dominated Memphis, right? The opposite was true Saturday. Memphis dominated Ole Miss from start to finish in that game. That, to me, is a great barometer of where Mississippi State is. Same opponent, same location. One team wins by double digits. One team loses by double digits. I still don't know that State's as good. You look at the top three in the SEC to me are kind of locked. I believe in that are Auburn, Tennessee, and Alabama. Those are the top three. Florida and Kentucky are very good. They both have to come to Starkville, though. Mississippi State might be the next team there. And they can jump into that top four. I don't know. Like I said, they have to play Alabama twice. They go to Tennessee. They go to Auburn. If in that four-game stretch, right, if they go 1-3, if they get one win in there, that's fine. That's fine. 2-2, and now we're talking about a real conference championship kind of bid happening. This team has been – they've been up and down. We talked about that. They've had some moments where – they haven't looked as good as they could, but their downs have not really hurt them yet. You know, they had the one loss to Butler, but I mean that's a good loss, you know, in the scheme of things. I've been very impressed with how this team has played thus far, and I feel like they haven't quite tapped their ceiling yet. We haven't seen the consistency night in, night out at the post position. You know, Murphy's had good games, Nwoko's had good games. They haven't had a stretch of good games together.
Without Kanye Clary.
Yeah, Kanye Clary's still out. Riley Kugel had his best game of the season against Memphis. And, you know, can he string together three or four games like that? There's still a lot of untapped potential in this basketball team.
It kind of reminds me a lot of last year. Well, I think State's ahead of last year, but just the way that the team's kind of developing right now, I think Jans is still kind of mixing and matching. Like, I still don't think this team is anywhere close to a finished product. Last year, if you remember, it was about this time, I think, we really started to see Mississippi State turn to Josh Hubbard. He had some good moments in non-conference play, but I can't remember exactly when it was where they just pulled the trigger and started putting him in the starting lineup or giving him more minutes.
I don't remember the exact game, but it was definitely into conference play, though.
Yeah, but, you know, we didn't really know what – we knew that Josh Hubbard was really exciting. We knew that he was a guy that could fill it up. But we really didn't know what he would become as a true freshman. I still think that Chris Jans, we've seen, you know, so many different starting lineups. I think he's starting to settle a little bit. We're seeing Michael Nwoku really kind of settle in at the center position. RJ Melendez is in there. But, you know, Riley Kugel's been used in a lot of different ways. They've used him at point guard. I think he's a – mismatch for a lot of teams and what he does. They're still trying to figure out, you know, who they are, what you know, what matches up with what. And I think that that's going to be a game by game thing in a lot of ways too. I still think that this team's going to look different game by game based on matchups. Whatever's working against Ole Miss might not work against Kentucky. You might have to do something else. I think that's what makes Chris Jan such a good coach, is he adjusts on the fly. He is not married to one single thing. He's a guy that obviously preaches defense and intensity and effort, but there is nothing that Chris Jans is 100% married to as far as scheme, lineups, anything like that. That, to me, is what makes him a great coach. And that's why Mississippi State evolves as the season goes on. We saw it the last 2 years. I think we're going to see it again this year. I don't think this team is anywhere close to being a finished product. But what I will say is it looks to me that they play with a lot more intensity and a lot more cleaner, maybe, or confidence-wise. They play a lot better against teams that are ranked higher, or that, you know, a lot of teams are, when you're doubting Mississippi State, seems to be when they kind of rise to the occasion. So if you can get a little more consistency there, like tonight, before we get into this game and see it, I need to see State come out against Bethune-Cookman and just bury them.
Yeah.
Just come out in this ball game. And I know we're talking about it after the fact, but, you know, just as we speak right now,
we're talking about it after the fact, before the fact.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And after and before the fact.
I need the Inception sound effect.
Right. I need State to come out in this game and just kill Bethune-Cookman. They need to take care of business. This doesn't need to be another Prairie View. This doesn't need to be a Southern. You have a chance to finish non-conference play somewhere inside the top 15, top 18 probably in net, closing in on top 15 in the AP poll. This would be the best start for Mississippi State, the best position they've been in non-conference play when it's finished in a long time, probably since Rick Stansberry, if I had to guess, that they were in this good a position, both with the metrics and record-wise, all that stuff. You have a chance to finish strong here. You know, and with all that talk after the Prairie View game, this is going to lose Mississippi State a seed, all that stuff. It doesn't matter as long as you win.
Yeah.
State won that ball game by single digits, and people were talking about how it was going to hurt their resume. They've actually shot up the metrics over the last couple of weeks, so they're fine. But you need to win this game tonight, and I think you need to win it convincingly. I think you need to show people that you're ready for consistency and you're ready to compete inside the SEC.
I think we have the same answer for this, but I'm going to ask you, who is, in your opinion, been the most surprising player this season?
You know, it's difficult to really nail it down because I felt like Keyshawn Murphy was going to take a jump. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was going to be better. And I liked R.J. Melendez more than a lot of people did. I remember when State was going after him, there was a meltdown by some people in the message boards about taking this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers were not all that different from D.J. Jeffries. And right. That's the role I felt like he could play, but be a little more capable scorer. I've been high on R.J. Melendez from the start, but he might be my answer just because the fit has been so good. I mean, the numbers are not astronomical or anything, but he's just been so solid. And he hustles. He gets on the floor after loose balls. He gets in your grill. He's defended the perimeter a lot better than I think a lot of people expected him to. You need some more consistency there, but he might be that piece for me. You have another guy beyond Cam Matthews that's kind of a glue guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's that kind of guy like Cam. I don't think he's at that point. But he also does a few different things that Cam can't do. So he might actually be my guy because I think the fit has just been so perfect for him. He's got a coach that knows what to do with him, and he plays hard for that coach, and he does everything that Chris Jans wants him to do. He might be my guy. And then Keyshawn Murphy might be up there for me too, even though I did expect him to make a jump.
Melendez is 100% my answer. A guy that, you know, I agree with the original assessment that he could be maybe a D.J. Jeffries, you know, 2.0 kind of thing. But he has shown a lot more versatility in his offensive game. The defense is outstanding. His stroke is very pure. He has the best-looking shot on the team, even better than Hubbard. in my opinion. When that ball leaves his hand, I expect it to go in every time.
Great looking shot. Chris Jan said it was darn near perfect.
Yeah.
He said, you know, I look at the shot and I don't see anything that I can fix in it to make it better.
Exactly. So, yeah, Melendez is definitely my answer. I like what you said there about, you know, having a couple of glue guys. You know, whenever I go back to the 2004 team, I feel like State's been trying to find another Brandon Vincent, right, for two decades now. And State has got a couple of those guys. Cam Matthews is a Brandon Vincent. He's a better ball handler, but he plays the defense and he gets you the rebounds and he does all the dirty work. Melendez could be a little bit of a Winsome Frazier kind of guy. I don't know that he's as good a scorer night in, night out, but he has a lot of the same tendencies that Winsome had. And Winsome was a glue guy as well. That whole team had chemistry. They just, part of it was because they played together for so long.
Played together for a while.
You don't have that as much anymore, but as much as you can have in the transfer portal era, I feel like this team plays well together. I feel like they play like a team at when they play well, I'll say it. When they play well, they play like a team that has played together for two or three years.
That's kind of been the surprise, isn't it? That they've taken care of the ball. Like usually when you see a mixture of new faces like this, mm-hmm. you're seeing a lot of miscommunication, you're seeing a lot of turnovers, mistakes. They just don't do it. They take care of the ball. They're averaging 9.5 turnovers a game. Mm-hmm. And that's up because I think they had double digit against Memphis. But you're seeing this team really they don't have a lot of empty possessions where they're making a bad pass or they're traveling or they're dribbling into traffic and losing the ball. They just really take care of the basketball. And that's been the most impressive thing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, the turnovers. I mean, Hubbard finally had a bad day turning the ball over against Memphis. But even then, they still had fewer turnovers than their opposition. They still had more assists than turnovers. On the season, they're just over 2-for-1, I think, assist to turnover. I mean, that's winning basketball. Taking care of the basketball and finding your teammates, that's winning basketball. The rebounding thing that we thought was going to be a big problem has not really been to this point. Because you just have so many athletic guys. You don't have the big bruiser down low as much as you did last year with Tolu Smith and Jimmy Bell. But Kugel and Melendez, those guys are bigger guards who can still get those rebounds for you. So it's working right now. Now we'll see if it continues to work. You know, we start SEC play this Saturday. I don't know what the crowd's going to be like for that one because, I mean, we're still in the middle of summer, our winter vacation here. We've got, you know, students aren't back. But I think that's going to be a hot crowd. I think people are going to show up, and if, yeah. You know, if assuming that our friend Future Brian gives us the right update tonight, then I think this. I mean, you're talking about a team that's what they are 12-1, 13-1. They've done all they can do. They're exciting. They play an exciting brand of basketball. This isn't like last year where they were just, you know, rock fighting everybody to death. This is a team that can score. They make it worth your while to come to the games. I'm hopeful for even without the students having a big crowd this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah, I think they will. I don't know what the student crowd will be like, but, you know, walk-up crowd might be pretty good. I think it'll be a solid crowd. And once you get into SEC season and everybody's back and everybody's in town, it's really going to be some fun atmospheres. I thought the Pittsburgh game was fantastic.
Really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, I don't know about this one tonight. 8 p.m. It's gonna be tough.
David
8 p.m. on a Monday against Bethune-Cookman. Like, who came up with this?
Some sickos out there. Before we let Future Brian take over, let's talk about the ladies. They also only one loss in the non-conference. Sort of similar, right? They've had some moments where you're like, man, they look really, really good, and there's some moments where you feel like they're just squeaking by and getting a win. What's your assessment of this women's team as they get ready to start SEC play?
Yeah, you know, I think to me the one big concern is turnovers. They turn the basketball over a lot, but what I'll say about this team, what I've seen so far, is they're pretty mentally tough. They look a lot mentally tougher than last year's team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that team could kind of fold in a hurry. And they would go through stretches where they would get really, you know, flustered and frustrated.
The Ole Miss game stands out to me for that.
The what?
Ole Miss, the game at Ole Miss where they were in control and they just completely let it get away from them.
What happened against them? It happened against Kentucky. It
Yeah,
was really bad at home. So, this team, they've blown out pretty much who they're supposed to blow out. And then they have two really tough wins against two teams. I think there's going to be really big wins down the stretch. Utah, now they blew a big lead in that game. They were up by like 20. And Utah got it to one possession. And I remember people being really upset that game. The very next day, Utah beat number three Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So State has a 66-62 win over Utah, who's a top 25 team. That's a top 25 win.
Right.
South Florida is always tough. They have four or five losses against good teams. State won that, same place, Cayman Islands. On short rest, South Florida had been off for a week. State had to play the very next day, less than 24 hours. State gutted that one out. South Florida ends up beating Duke a few weeks later, who's a top 10 team. So both of those wins, I think, are big wins.
I thought the Belmont win was a big win, too.
I think Belmont is going to win their conference and go to the NCAA tournament. And that team has lost six games. They're 5-6. Doesn't look impressive. They lost to five top 25 teams. And the other one was Mississippi State that they lost to. And three of those games were single-digit ball games. They had a chance to win in a couple of those games. So I think that's a good win. Now, the ULM game and the Maryland Eastern Shore game, I look at those games as State kind of sleepwalking, trying to get to Christmas. It was an eight-game road trip. This team had played on the road for 1 month. They were obviously tired. I kind of chalked that up to that because when they were rested yesterday, they won by almost 50 points against South Carolina State, who's a really bad team, but they did what they were supposed to do. So you're looking at it, 13-1, which is the best start in the season since 2018-2019, a team that went to the national championship game, I believe. So, no, that team – I guess that was the team that went to
2018-19 went to the Elite
16, Elite Eight to
Oregon.
Play Oregon. They lost three games.
Yeah.
So this is the best start since Vic Schaefer. This is Sam Purcell's best start. And there's been some tough wins in there. They're a top 30 net team right now. That's only going to rise when they get into their schedule. I like this team a lot. If they can start to knock the turnovers down, and I think they need to get Medina Okot more involved. And maybe Sam Purcell's sandbagging a little bit. She was 7-for-7 on Sunday night, 16 points, 7-for-7. But I want to see her get 30 minutes. I need to see her go deep into a ball game and play sustained minutes. I think he's trying to kind of play out the depth and make sure his players are fresh.
Yeah,
I would like to see them feed her a little bit more. So cut down the turnovers, get Okai a little more involved, and that opens up everybody else's game. And I think this team can be really good. They're a lot like the men in that, you know, if they win seven or eight SEC games, they're probably in the NCAA tournament. And the men are definitely in. The women are probably in at 7 or 8 wins. So it's one of those you just got to survive. Every win matters for you. The first three games in the schedule are absolutely brutal in SEC play. You got number 16 Kentucky on the road, who is a lot better this year.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about. We talk so much about the men in the conference, how tough the SEC is on the men's side. What is it like on the women's side?
Very tough. I don't know if it's going to be pretty deep. I think it's more top-heavy than the men are because Kentucky's a lot better. That was one of the worst teams in the league last few years. They're a lot better. You've added Texas and Oklahoma, who are two potential top-five teams. Oklahoma won the Big 12 last year. Texas – with Vic Schaefer's always up there. You know, LSU's good. South Carolina's good. Auburn's a lot better than they have been. Alabama is better than they have been. It's just going to be a really tough league. And you got Kentucky on the road to start, number 16. Number 2, South Carolina on Sunday at the hump. And then number 9, defending Big 12 champs, Oklahoma, at the hump next Thursday. That's your first three. There's a very real chance State's 0-3 in league play. If you can come out of that with one win, just like you said, with the men and that stretch, if you can come out of that with a win, then you're in decent shape. But you look down at – then you got, you know, after Georgia, who I don't think is very good, you got Tennessee on the road, who's been one of the more impressive teams in non-conference play, and then Ole Miss. So – Your first six games are a gauntlet, man. You're lucky if you come out of that with two wins.
Wow. So it's one of those things where if they're 3-3, you're going to feel really good about their chances.
Oh, yeah. I would feel a lot like last year. But, I mean, last year they kind of faded down the stretch. But last year they had a very tough start, too. And they were able to get a win over LSU and kind of keep their head above water. That's kind of what you're looking at here. But it's going to be a tough schedule.
We'll see what happens. All right. It's that time. Hopefully all this podcast was for naught. Let's go down to our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning. Let's go now to Future Brian.
This is Future Brian reporting to you from the future. Yes, in case you ever wondered what I look like, I look exactly the same as present day Brian. Before we get into what happened over at the hump and the guys, they don't have to delete any portion of this podcast, thankfully. Let's thank our sponsors over at Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Even here in the future, we need reliable printing. That's what Pip Printing and Signs is willing to give you if you can give them a call today. Tell them you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning, and they're going to give you a great deal, and they're going to set you up with a plan that's going to get your business going here in the year 2025. Year 2025 is technically the future because it's tomorrow, but you see what I'm getting at. So give Cam Baker a call today at 601-499-5216 and find out what Pip Printing and Signs can do for your business. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, nope. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, even I screw it up. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for, and we know that you are looking for it. If you want to have a great meal in Starkville, Two Brothers is a fantastic place to go, or If you're not in the mood for that, you want to head down the street just a little bit, you can get a fancy sandwich over at The Older Brother, one of Starkville's best new restaurants, a unique menu. You know, a lot of places sell sandwiches, but nobody sells sandwiches like they sell at The Older Brother. If you haven't checked it out yet, go and do it now. Make it your New Year's resolution to head over to The Older Brother or to Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years. Oh, he's not here. 50. If you need new technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's simply the same number. You talk to the people who made the sale with you. You're not talking to a 1-800 number, a call center. You're not making an appointment with some out-of-state technician. Because Advantage Business Systems is in Mississippi just like you, a lot of times they can fix your problem the exact same day. Service after the sale. That's what makes the difference with Advantage Business Systems. Give them a call at 601-362-9192. Or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to any games at Davis-Wade Stadium, at the hump, at Diddy Noble Field, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. When you need Mississippi State gear and you're in Starkville, Maroon & Co. is the place to get it. They've got a bigger selection than anybody else, a more unique selection than anybody else. Not just clothes, stuff for your car, your tailgate, your home, everything maroon and white right there under one roof. Save money with our promo code. Thunder15 saves you 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to any games in Starkville, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. There was a game in Starkville on Monday night, and it was not an aesthetically pleasing game, but it was a win for Mississippi State, 87-73 over Bethune-Cookman. Bethune-Cookman shooting 50% for the game and shot 60-plus percent in the first half. Finally cooled off in the second half. Shot 62.5% from behind the line. They were 5 of 8 in the first half from three-point range, 0 of 7 in the second half. And the game really turned for Bethune-Cookman when their leading scorer, Trey Thomas, was ejected after picking up his second technical. At that point, Mississippi State was finally able to put some distance between them and Bethune-Cookman and get the win. Four Bulldogs in double figures, led by Riley Kugel, who also was fouled out of the game. 22 points for him, 10 of 13 shooting, really good. R.J. Melendez, 12 points for him, 12 points for Claudel Harris, all in the second half, 3 three-pointers for him and 3 free throws. Josh Hubbard in double figures, second leading scorer with 16 points, but a really bad shooting night for him. 4 of 15 from the field, 1 of 9 from deep, 7 of 7 from the free throw line was the difference for him. State's 8 of 25 from three-point range in the game. Without Hubbard,
They're 7 of 16. They're like 40%. So Hubbard just not his best game. And he's been going through a little bit of a stretch here where he hasn't played as well as you would like for him to. Hopefully he's getting that out of his system as SEC play is getting ready to start. But again, with Mississippi State, you see the depth in the lineup, four guys in double figures. And Kugel, this is back-to-back season highs for him. 19 against Memphis, then he follows that up with 22 tonight and probably would have been closer to 25, 26 had he not fouled out of the game when he did. Good night for Keyshawn Murphy as well. 8 points and 9 rebounds for him. Cam Matthews, only 4 points, but 6 points, 5 boards. State on the turnover to assist to turnover ratio, 2-1. They did it again. 18 assists, 9 turnovers. And on the other side of it, just not the same deal for Bethune-Cookman. Five assists, 17 turnovers for them. State with 24 points off of turnovers. Big difference in the game. 21-9 fast break points as well. State with 11 steals. Led basically the entire game. There was a brief moment that I think was like 3-2 or something like that at the beginning, but that was it. But another game where State kind of plays down to its level of competition. And I don't know if I should take that as a good thing or not because, well, if you play to the level of your competition, you're about to be playing the best competition in college basketball. So you can make a very legitimate case that if State plays at the level of competition they see every week, well, they're about to go undefeated in SEC play because they're going to play nothing but good teams going forward. Obviously, that's probably not going to be the case. I said probably. That's not going to be the case. I'll tell you what, I'll eat my words if they go 18-0. But it's not really a roller coaster. It's more like a bumpy ride, right? Because there aren't these valleys. They've only lost one game. They're 12-1. They're going to be a top 15 net team going into conference play. There's not a lot to nitpick and complain about. It's just that they really haven't stacked back-to-back good games together. I mean, I guess the closest they had was when they played SMU and then came back and played UNLV. But, you know, so they played okay in those two games. But they haven't really had – I mean, they had their best game of the year against Pitt, and then they followed up with a clunker, even though it's a win, a clunker against Prairie View. They come back and play a dominant game against Memphis. They have a 9-day break, obviously, but the next game back is a bit of a clunker against another SWAC team in Bethune-Cookman. So State's just got to find just a little bit more consistency night in, night out. And they need Hubbard. You know, Hubbard with 16 points, you know, if you just look at that, you're thinking, okay, he's fine. But, you know, State needs him to hit more shots. I don't think they can win a ton of games in SEC play with him going 1-for-9 from three-point range. But again, their scoring depth is going to pick them up. And you know, there were a couple of other, you know, Nwoko has 9 points in this game, only 1 rebound, but he had 9 points and had a couple of opportunities at the rim. He could have very easily been in double figures. Keyshawn Murphy could have easily been in double figures for State tonight. Harris, very interesting night for Claudell Harris. Didn't shoot the ball. You know, him not scoring is one thing. Not shooting Claudell Harris is very surprising. But he shot the ball really well. I thought his 12 points were a real big key of why State was able to kind of push the lead out a little bit and get it in double figures and keep it there for most of the second half. So good enough from Mississippi State to get the win. 12-1. They've done everything they needed to do. You cannot ask for much more than what they got out of this non-conference. And now a big game Saturday as conference play begins against South Carolina. That's a game that they should be able to win. I want to give a shout-out to the Mississippi State fans in attendance. And Paul Jones and I made the same comment. I don't know what the attendance was tonight. It was probably around maybe 4,000 tops, right? But there were games in the recent past where you had that kind of crowd for SEC games. I've seen, you know, when Ben Hallen was there, State would play an SEC game and have that kind of crowd that they had tonight. So a Monday tip, 8 o'clock at night, the day before New Year's Eve, no students in town to have that kind of crowd, I was impressed. I really do think that this Saturday, even without the students here, we're going to see a big crowd at the hump. I really do think that. We'll see them. But Bulldogs move on to 12-1. 87-73 is the final score. Very rarely do I get to do two topics, but I will today. No Cruton song, but we'll stay in the transfer portal. The guy that Mississippi State fans have been waiting on the past couple of days has made his commitment official, and that's Coastal Carolina defensive lineman Will Whitson has made it official.
good reporting by Paul Jones of On Three, that where he was able to derive that once a player in this new era of college football, once he is signed, it's over. Doesn't matter if he doesn't put a graphic out, there is no more recruiting for that player. So State's coaches had Whitson's signature a couple of days ago. So they were never worried about anything with him, but he finally made it official and put out the graphic, and so that's that. So State's portal recruiting is about to hit a little bit of a lull, right? Because they're in a dead period right now. Visits will pick back up next week, and you'll see some more guys coming in. Still need two corners. Still need a couple of receivers, maybe three. Still need a couple of offensive linemen. I think it's kind of evident. And Paul, some more reporting by him, was able to talk to somebody at State and said, yeah, they do really think that they're going to have more of a four-man look next year. And that makes sense, right? They have not gone after a big-time nose tackle in this portal class thus far, but they've gotten some guys who can play inside and outside on a four-man front. So I think that's a smart move by Mississippi State, because I think it's just easier to find 4-3 defensive linemen than it is to find Jeff Simmons, to find the kind of guy running in a three-man front, that nose tackle. Those guys are tough to find. They go to the big schools. They go to Georgia and Alabama to play for the most part. Very rarely, I mean, State gets one this year, or not this year, but you know, with Jeff Simmons, they, you know, Ole Miss kind of had that guy this year in Walter Nolan, but he was more of a four-man front kind of guy. Those elite defensive tackles are hard to find, but State's doing a good job in portal recruiting on the defensive side. Now, offensively, they still got a lot of work to do. As much as I love Fluff Bothwell, they need a couple linemen. They need receivers. I like Croman Hawk and I like Bothwell as pieces, but they got a long way to go on the offensive side of the ball to get where they need to be for SEC football. But defensively, right now, you have a more talented roster than you had a season ago. So I give full credit to Coleman Hutzler there. You know, his reputation was that of a great recruiter. Thus far, he's done okay. He's done pretty good. Still got to get a couple corners in there. That's where this defense is really lacking. They've got to have a reliable cornerback or two in there. I just don't think you can go into the season with Kelly Jones, with Javon Williams, and say, okay, that's my two guys. You got to have two more. You got to have some real quality players at that position. We'll see if they can get there. Another interesting move. State made it official today with the hiring of Phil Loadholt and Vincent Dancy. But they made another hire official too. And this to me was the one that really made me say this was a good move. And that's that they have brought in a new defensive analyst, and that's Paul Rhodes. Now, if you're a fan of college football, that name is very familiar to you. He has been around the game of college football as a defensive coordinator for three decades, was the head coach at Iowa State. He is known for defense. He is known as a defensive coach and one of the top defensive coaches in college football. And he is a veteran voice. And honestly, I think this is something State should have probably done last year, is have somebody. I'm not saying you need to hold Hutzler's hand, but that was his first time calling a defense. Why not give him a veteran guy in the booth to talk to and bounce ideas off of and get some feedback? This is a great move for State. Of all the moves they've made since the end of the season, this is the one I like the most. And I know we're just talking about an analyst being hired here, but this guy is, to me, this is what Hutzler needed. He needed a veteran guy that he could bounce ideas off of, that could probably come back at him a little bit and be like, no, I don't like that at all. Let me tell you what I think I would do. And Hutzler would respect that opinion and listen to it. So to get a coach of that caliber as an analyst, that's a great sign for the future for Mississippi State football. You know, we've talked a lot about Mississippi State. You know, do they really, truly take football seriously? This is the kind of move that assures you that they do. They're bringing in a top coach. This is a guy who could easily get a job as a defensive coordinator at a lot of schools, and he's going to come here to be an analyst. That's good news for Mississippi State, in my opinion. So the Rhodes hire is one I really, really like for State. So like we said, it should slow down unless they've got something in their back pocket that we don't know about. Should slow down for the next few days. We'll get through the new year, and then starting next week, it heats back up again. And then, you know, you're kind of on a countdown until the start of classes here. You know, I think you have, a week or two after classes start to get everybody settled in. Basically, you're about a month away from knowing what your roster is going to look like.
going into the spring. So I expect a lot of portal movement when we get through this dead period for Mississippi State. And also, I got to have some more clarity, I guess, on this coaching staff. As we talked about yesterday, you know, with the hiring of two coaches, but only Cody Kennedy has been let go. You're one over on your 10 on-field assistants. Who are the actual assistants? Is somebody getting moved to analysts? Is somebody just leaving the staff entirely? I don't know the answer to that. Hopefully we'll get some more clarity for it in the coming days. All right, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. Robbie's already sent out the tweet. I saw that happen in the past. But if you haven't yet, get your questions into us, and we will answer those for you on tomorrow's show, The Rumblings, presented by Paul Davis Restoration here in the Golden Triangle. Thanks for joining the guys, and thanks for joining me, Future Brian, here. For Robbie Falk and Brian Haydad, I'm Future Brian. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.